Well, once again, I am so glad to see this number out today. We've just finished 3 weeks of school, haven't we, young people? Finished 3 weeks. I know it seems like 3 months or 3 years, but it's just been 3 weeks. And probably that first week, you met some people that maybe you'd never gone to school with before, or maybe they had moved in, or just people, and you were you might have wondered, well, I wonder what they're like. You know, I wonder what kind of a person that is. What's that boy like? What's that girl like? Well, this morning I want to answer that question by talking about what is God like. Have you ever thought about that? What is God like? When we meet someone new, we always wonder, well, what are they like? How would you describe God to someone? How would you describe God to someone? You know, even though there's only one true God, He has revealed what He wants us to know about Him in two ways. One way is sometimes called natural revelation, the world. You know, people throughout the world can look in the world and see that it was created by an intelligent being. And that intelligent being is a good person. Okay, they have made this world for mankind to live in. So there are certain things we can know about God by just looking at creation. That's why the Bible says people are without excuse. Because there's so much evidence for this benevolent God. But if we really want to know God, we have to look at what He's left for us. He's left for us a book that reveals what He's like. What He's like. And even though He is the only God, He has revealed what He wants us to know in a way that we can know it. That's what's so wonderful about the Bible. Because we can read it and come to understand, with our limited understanding, what He's like, His qualities, His characteristics, His attributes. And it's helped us understand who He is and what He's like. Obviously, we can't look at every one of those characteristics. We don't have time to look at all those attributes, but we're going to look at some of them. Because in the end, I want us to say, well, I know God a little bit better than I did before this lesson. And I want us to think, as we're going through these qualities, these characteristics, this is what God wants me to know about Him. The very first one, you might say, kind of blows our mind, but yet it's certainly a characteristic that distinguishes Him from every other thing. And that is the fact that He is eternal. Colossians 1:17 says, He was before all things. What does that mean? It means He's self-existing. He has always existed. He doesn't have an origin. You know, you and I had an origin. Each of us had a distinct beginning. We don't self-exist. We were created. But not so God. There was never a time when there was not God. There was a time when there was not Bobby Stafford. There was not a time when there wasn't Jehovah God. He was not created. He's always existed. The Bible says He inhabits eternity. Isaiah 57:15. He inhabits eternity. You and I don't inhabit eternity. We inhabit a world where time is such an integral part of how we live. That's why we have watches and clocks and our cell phones. You know, we're very time conscious. Why? Because all of us only have a limited amount of time. We don't have an infinite amount. But see, God does. He inhabits eternity. And this next verse that talks about His characteristic, I love. Psalms 90, verse 4. Hopefully you brought your Bibles with you. I always encourage you to do that. In Psalms 90, verse 4, the psalmist characterizes it like this. Psalms 90, verse 4. This is considered to be a psalm of Moses. He says in verse 4, "For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it's past, and like a watch in the night." Isn't that amazing? "For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it's past." 1,000 years doesn't mean anything to him. It means a lot to us, not to him. He inhabits eternity. He has all the time. So God is eternal. God is also, and we live in a time when Marvel comics and all of these have all of these heroes, and they all have what? They all have some type of power. They can do this, they can do that. Some can fly, some can destroy things, and some can see and through buildings and whatever. They all have some type of power. People are interested in power. The Bible says God is all power. He's completely powerful. He can do things the rest of us cannot even imagine. We sometimes use the word omnipotent, omni and potent. All powerful. If you're still in Psalms, turn back to the 33rd Psalm. And notice what he says, the psalmist does, in verse 6. Psalm 33, verse 6. Notice God's power. Psalm 33, verse 6 says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." We've been talking in our auditorium class on Sunday morning about the flood, and we talked about creation first in the first two chapters, and then we moved to the flood in Genesis 6 through 9. And we see God's incredible power. You know, we're amazed when... I was amazed, I know, growing up when I was given some Play-Doh or clay and I could actually make something that almost looked like maybe a vase. Now, you had to stretch your imagination to think it was a vase. But God can create an entire solar system by just saying it. And there's all the planets and there's the stars, and He can do all that by just saying it. Now that's real power. And that's where the world came from. God spoke it into existence. He didn't have to have anything to start with, because He can create things out of nothing. In Latin it's called creatio ex nihilo. Creation out of nothing. Isn't that amazing? You and I can't do that. We have to have something to start with. We have to have the Play-Doh. We have to have the clay. Not Him. He created all of this that we see, all those stars and all the planets and everything, including life, from nothing. Now that's power. He possesses unlimited power. You know, you always want to be on, when we're playing in the playground or on teams when we get older, you want to be on the team that has the best players, the strongest, the most powerful, the fastest. Well, when we become a Christian, we get on the very best team that's ever existed, because we're on God's side, and He brought all of this into existence. He doesn't do anything contrary to His nature. The Bible says He can't lie. He can't tolerate sin. He can't save impenitent sinners. All of those are against His nature, against who He is. But He's able to do everything that He wants to do. That He wants to do. And if He plans something, it's going to happen. The prophet Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 32. It'd be a great verse to mark. Jeremiah 32. Verse 17. Jeremiah 32, 17. Just a marvelous verse that if you're feeling down and that the world is winning, read Jeremiah 32:17. Oh, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. The word hard there is sometimes translated difficult. There's nothing too difficult for you. That's the God that we serve. God is also, thankfully, all-knowing. Sometimes we use the word omniscient. Knows everything. Turn back a few pages to Isaiah. Isaiah 46. You will really, really like these two verses. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. We'll read something about God. Maybe you knew, maybe you didn't know. Isaiah 46, beginning in verse 9. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God says, I know everything from first to last. He knows how everything's going to turn out. He knows how the world's going to end. He knows when the world is going to end. He knows all of those things. He doesn't have to look in history books because He knows everything that's happened to every individual that's ever lived. He knows everything about their lives. The Bible says He never sleeps nor slumbers. He's always aware. So because of this, He knows all the struggles you face. See, He knows everything about you. He knows all the struggles in your life, whether it's a medical condition, whatever. Whatever it is you're suffering, He knows about it. And He knows more about it than you know about it. And He also knows how it's going to end. So He knows all of those things. He knows everything we're up against. Every last thing. So that everything He purposes is going to come to pass. If you're still in Isaiah 46, go down a verse to verse 11. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. That's the God that we worship. Along with that, God is everywhere. Now that doesn't mean that God is in a rock. Some pagan religions talk about God being in a rock or God being in a tree. No, God is everywhere. Sometimes we call that omnipresent. In Psalms 139, the psalmist describes how God is everywhere. Psalms 139, we're going to begin in verse 7. Psalms 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. That's the word translated hell there means the grave. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uppermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. God is in all places at the same time. So you and I can't even begin to imagine what that's like. He's in every church building this morning, everywhere in the world. He's in every town and city and country at the same time, everywhere in the world. So He is everywhere, and that's why He knows everything. He's everywhere. Now this should bring us some comfort, knowing God is always with us. We are never alone. Remember the psalmist says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So regardless of how difficult the place is, God is right there with you. He's right there with you. In Jeremiah 23, the prophet says this about God. Jeremiah 23, 24. Jeremiah 23, 23 and 24. Jeremiah, verse 23 of chapter 23. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth? That's what God does. He fills heaven and earth. He's on every planet, every star. He's everywhere. The next characteristic is God is faithful. And I am so glad about that. Because God is unchanging, this means He is always faithful. Deuteronomy chapter 7, marvelous verse about God's faithfulness. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Remember, Deuteronomy is basically the last words of Moses. And this is what's said in verse 9. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. He can always be relied upon. Always be relied upon. He never forgets a promise. We talked this morning in our class about the promise He made when Noah and his family came out of the ark. He made a promise that He would never destroy the world with water again like He did during the time of Noah. We can, you might say, take that to the bank. We know He'll never do it. Regardless of what the world may look like, He's never going to destroy the world again like He did in the days of Noah with water. He is faithful. He never fails to do what He said He would do. We can have absolute confidence. God is also just. The Bible says He's infinitely fair. Infinitely fair. I think I'm a pretty fair person. But there's many times I realize now that I wasn't. I didn't have all the facts, didn't have all the knowledge. Maybe too emotional. God is not like that. God has all the facts. God has all the knowledge. So He's infinitely fair. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, this is what's said about God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is He. He always does what's right. He always does what's right. Regardless of what that is, it's the right thing. We're not like that. We sometimes do the wrong thing. Not God. He is perfectly just. And the Bible says that nobody will be treated unjustly by God. On the day of judgment, everybody's going to get exactly what's fair and right and just. When He sends people to eternal hell, it will be the fair thing to do. It will be the just thing to do. It will be the right thing to do. He's a righteous God. Always. He's a just God. Always. He's a fair God. Always. And in some people's perspective, this next characteristic is the most important. And that is, God is holy. There is none holy like the Lord, 1 Samuel 2:2. Holy, holy, holy. It was said in Isaiah, it's said in Revelation. When it's said three times, it means that individual, whoever it's being said to, has it in the greatest degree. Holy, holy, holy is God. Holy, holy, holy is the Heavenly Father. He's infinitely holy. It means He's set apart, sacred, revered. He's infinitely holy and always holy. There's never a moment when our God is not holy. This is what John MacArthur writes about Him. Of all the attributes of God, holiness is the one that most uniquely describes Him, and in reality is a summation of all His other attributes. Holiness is the attribute of God that binds all the others together. And I think there's a great deal of truth in that. And lastly, and you knew this one was going to be in there, the Bible says that God is love. 1 John 4:7-8. In other words, love comes from God and is identified with God. We would not know what real love is if it weren't for God. Because He is love. And His love is personal. His love is personal. He doesn't just love all of His creation. He loves each of us individually. He loves Rosemary individually. Loves Josh individually. Not just as a group, and He does love us as a group, but He loves us individually. Just like Jesus is not only the Savior, He's my Savior. He's my Savior. And maybe we need to use that more often. And thankfully, this love is unending. You've heard Lamentations 3:22 many times. It says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." Made a song from there. Never ceases. And we could go on and on. There's so many other attributes of God: His mercy, His compassion, His wrath. But the faithful Christian never has to worry about facing God's wrath, because Christ's blood continues to cleanse us of our sin. So we'll never have to experience that wrath. Because first of all, we became a Christian when we repented and were baptized. And then second of all, we've continued to ask God to forgive us when we do err. And how marvelous it is that we'll never have to experience what much of the world will experience: His wrath, His anger. We'll never experience His vengeance. How wonderful. This morning, if it's your need, your desire to respond to that gospel invitation, I encourage you, don't put it off, but come as we stand and sing this song.